will come on the floor tonight. Great job, choir.
Thank you.
Great job.
I thought you said you were singing a solo.
Oh, not a solo. If you had a solo, they'd be leaving. I promise you, they would not want to hear me sing. Thank you, Pastor Gordon. Oh, thank you all so much for being here on this rainy Wednesday night once again. I commend you guys for the special effort you've made each night to be here. As we know, three of the four nights have not been the most friendly nights of traveling, and I want to thank you guys for coming out in the rain and all that you guys have done behind the scenes. Thank you so very much. I've enjoyed each and every night, and I want to thank again Pastor Gordon and Miss Kim and Sean and Katie. Thank them so much in the church tonight. Thank you all for the invitation to come and be with you all these nights in these revival services. I've had a great time. I want to thank all the special music each night. Thank you for your participation and blessing us in song. I want to thank Lisa playing for us and Jerry doing the sound back there. And and also to the choir tonight. Thank you guys for the wonderful job that you guys just did. And again, I just thank each and every one for being here. All our visitors each night. I want to thank Miss Gail this evening for being with us all the way from the Wilson area. She's come tonight, and she's a great friend of our family, and I appreciate her being here this evening. Thank you so much for being a part, and it's always a joy to see you. And again, thank you for allowing me to speak and share each night for a few minutes from the Scriptures and from my heart. And I pray that something spoken has stirred your spirit, and that you've left each night feeling, gaining a second wind, or leaving saying, you know what, I just thank the Lord for the Word and how His Word applies in my life. So I just pray tonight when we leave, and we, I believe I have a time of fellowship tonight, I believe. I often tell people the 11th commandment is, thou shalt eat after church. So thank you. I had a great time Sunday night doing that, and I know tonight likewise. But thank you all again for being here, and thank you as well for your giving this week, your generosity to those who could give and those who could not give. I just want to say thank you for giving, be it monetarily, giving a smile, giving of your time, giving an encouraging word. Thank you so much for that, for it's greatly appreciated. And I can promise you once again, every gift given will go right back towards the work of the Lord. You see, it's all about partnership. No one can do it by themselves. It takes partners to do the work of the ministry. And I want to thank you for helping us to share the gospel to all the lives that have been touched and encouraged and lives that have been saved through the ministry. It's because of people who've enabled us to do just that. And I want to thank you for doing so. As I may mention the other night, it takes finances to do radio and do television, for equipment, for editing. It takes a lot of work to do a 30-minute television broadcast. I edit our own broadcast. It takes about 12 hours to edit a 30-minute broadcast. And that's what I was working on all day today, the past couple of days, but putting all the final touches on it today to go out to all the stations that we're on. And so it takes quite a bit of work, but it also takes equipment to be able to do that, computers and software and other means of media to do all that. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes into that, as well as the radio broadcast, too. So I just want to let you all know that you all have a part in that, and I thank you for making that possible. Well, tonight, as we come to a conclusion in our nights together, I want to share tonight from my heart once again, but most importantly, from the Scriptures. If you have your Bibles this evening, would you please turn to the book of Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And I do invite you. We do live in a computer age, and many people are using social media like Facebook and Twitter and blogs. Well, we have a Facebook page. If you are a Facebook user, and many people are Facebook users, I do invite you to visit our Facebook page. It is Brian Rogers Ministries, and I post different things on our Facebook page and interact with a lot of people that way, have a blog site. And I also send out a daily email, Monday through Friday, a weekday email, and I call these devotionals. And I write these each day and send these out. And right now, we've had wonderful response feedback. We send out over 2,500 emails a day that go out to about 40 states. So God has blessed us to be able to reach across the U.S. That's the ones I know of, the 2,500 emails. But then people forward them to their friends and coworkers and family members along that line there. People often tell me that. And so if you would like to receive our daily email, again, I call these devotionals, you can go to our website. And by going to our website, you can sign up. And any time that you need to unsubscribe, it's totally free. Anytime, you know, if you're getting a lot of stuff in your inbox, you know, sometimes you got to clean things up. If you need to unsubscribe, it's just as easy as clicking a button. But I invite you to visit our website. And our website is very simply www.BRministries.org. B-R Ministries, M-I-N, I-S-T-R-I-E-S.org. Or just do a Google search, Brian Rogers Ministries, it'll take you right to our website. But again, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of you all this week. And I do ask for your prayers for the future. Today, of course, with you all, this week with you all, Baptist, and Sunday I'll be at the Disciples of Christ Church, and then Monday through Friday next week I'll be Free Will Baptist, and then I'll be Friends, and then it'll be another Free Will Baptist, and then I think a Pentecostal Holiness. So it's really fun to go across the denominational lines and share the Word of God. As I told you guys, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday night. I can't recall what my nights kind of meshed together, but it's all one church, no matter what denomination you're with tonight. As long as you know Christ as your personal Savior, you said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. The Bible says you are saved. And this evening, there's going to be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Holiness. I mean, all denominations coming together in heaven because there's only one true God. Amen. And I'm thankful for that this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I believe tonight the next great event on God's gigantic time calendar is the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. I love teaching and preaching on the coming of the Lord. We're getting together a radio broadcast series on the coming of the Lord in the book of the Revelation. I enjoy talking about what Titus 2:13 calls our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I enjoy, you know, some people don't like for you to talk about the end times or Revelation because it brings fear. But to a child of God, it should never bring fear, but rather it should bring joy, because Christ says, when you see these things taking place, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Again, I believe tonight the next great event on God's gigantic time calendar is the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ, known as the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those who passed away, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And to me personally, those two words there, no hope, in my opinion, or two of the, what I would say, of the worst word, most dreaded words in the English language, saying no hope. Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep," or those who passed away in Jesus, "will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Now notice here, this is the word of the Lord. This is not man's opinion, but rather this is the word of the Lord. "And God's word will not return back void." My poems and, you know, my words could return back void, but God's word will accomplish what it set out to do. It says here in verse 15 again, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," that's us tonight, "unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or stop them which are asleep," or those who passed away. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So to our loved ones, and our family, our friends who passed away tonight, whose souls are in heaven this evening, who are worshiping and celebrating and praising Almighty God, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, that their physical mortal body that is in the grave, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, my finite mind and thinking cannot comprehend this, but this is going to take place. It says in verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And I love verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." These are not scare tactics, but rather these words for me are words of confirmation, words of exaltation, words of hope, words of excitement, knowing that one day by the grace of God, that Jesus Christ is coming back to take his saints away. Now you say, "Brian, I've heard my entire life that Jesus is coming. My grandma and granddad said Jesus was coming. My mom and dad said Jesus is coming. And back when the Persian Gulf War, back in the early 90s, we heard that Christ was coming then." And all these different scenarios. And where's the promise of his coming? The Bible says in Peter, there'll be scoffers in the last days saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? Our forefathers have said that Christ is coming." But the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He doesn't desire that any should perish, but the day of the Lord will come. There will be a time when God says, "Son, as the song says, go bring my children home." It's going to be a wonderful event to those who know Christ as personal Savior. And I ask you this evening, are you prepared for the soon coming of Jesus Christ? The Bible says, Christ speaking, that his coming will be like a thief in the night. "In an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." But my friend, I want to be prepared when Christ comes. We said last evening on the beautiful songs that were shared, I think "Going Home." And the other song was "The New Jerusalem." Yes, wonderful, beautiful song. The song last night was indicating about heaven. Well, I'm thankful tonight that one day I'm going to spend eternity in a place called heaven. You see, as I may mention last evening, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. If you're going on a trip, let's say in mid-October, let's say overseas, let's say to Europe, you have your passport in hand, and if not, you definitely would weeks and months in advance get that passport together. You would get your luggage, your airline tickets, everything that you need in preparation for that trip to Europe. And likewise, in order for us to be ready for a place, not a mindset, not a figment of our imagination, but a place, Christ said in John 14, "I go prepare a place." We have to be prepared. You see, this event that Christ is speaking of, or we know as the rapture of the church, is an event that will happen, and three simultaneous events will happen at this one event. These three events, number one, there's going to be a resurrection. Secondly, there's going to be a rapture. And then thirdly, there's going to be a reunion. Initially, a resurrection. Then there's going to be a rapture. And then there's going to be a reunion. Let's begin with the first, the resurrection. The Bible says here, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I mentioned just a moment ago, I cannot fathom that graves will literally open up and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But the Bible tells us here that
at the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we're sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. We're sown in dishonor but raised in glory. We're sown in weakness but raised in power. We're sown a natural body, but praise God, we're raised a spiritual body. The Bible says that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is, speaking of Christ, that our bodies will instantaneously change. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means my great-granddad, who passed away when I was 5 years old, his body will rise from the dead. Now, people often make the comment, you know, well, Brian, what happens if someone's buried at sea? Or, you know, someone, you know, I mean, you know, all the different types of death. How's God going to make that happen? Well, here's my simple solution to that. All right, here it is, okay? If you have that big question, here's my simple solution. God began with dirt, with Adam. I think He could do it once again. How about you? He took the dust of the earth and He formed Adam. I can't fathom it. It's way above my head. My little peanut-sized brain cannot fathom how God's going to do what He's going to do. But some way, somehow, the physical body will be resurrected. And the Bible says that they will meet Jesus in the clouds. Now notice here, Jesus does not come back to the earth. He comes back in the clouds. He never touches down here. The rapture and the second coming are two different events. The rapture, He comes in the clouds. The second coming, He comes back at the end of the tribulation period, at the bite of Armageddon, and He touched down on earth at the Mount of Olives. But the rapture, Christ comes in the clouds. Now, people have often made the comment or tried to predict the date that Jesus will come. Listen very closely. No one knows the day or the hour when Christ shall return. The Bible says, Christ speaking, He says, the angels do not know, my Father only. So no one knows the day or the hour. Anybody tries to predict the time and the day, no one knows when Jesus Christ is going to return in the clouds. And listen very closely. There are no signs for the coming of the Lord in the rapture. It could happen any moment. The signs we see taking place right now across the world are indications of what is going to happen during the tribulation period, the rise of the Antichrist, and the 21 judgments that will be poured out upon the earth during the tribulation period. And we see how the worldwide communication system that was not here 50 years ago, but that is now, you can watch the war in the comfort of your living room. I recall back in the early 90s during the Persian Gulf War, you were watching them shooting Scud missiles, and you were sitting in the comfort of your living room watching CNN, watching the war take place. Back 50 years ago, that wasn't possible. But now there's instantaneous communication. And what's happening? All these signs indicate that of the second coming, when Christ shall return, when every eye shall see Him. But there's no signs of the rapture. The rapture is an imminent event that could happen anytime. Anytime it could happen. It could happen just like that. And my prayer is when Christ shall come in the clouds, that I'm prepared. But initially there shall be a resurrection. It reminds me of a story of this couple who were on vacation one summer. And they were taking pictures, you know, and had a wonderful summer, and then that fall, the wife passed away. The husband was cleaning the house, and he was grieving, and he came across the camera that they had during their summer vacation, and he noticed there was still film inside the camera of that summer vacation. So he took it to a nearby store, had the film developed, and he saw the beautiful pictures of him and his wife that particular summer. Her beautiful smile, and in his mind's eye, he was recalling all the wonderful times they had together, in particular, that summer vacation. And when I read that story, a thought came to my mind. Just like the film was in the dark, cold chambers of that camera, so tonight the physical bodies of our loved ones may be in the cold chambers of this earth. But can I just tell you tonight, God can take those negatives and turn them into positives. Do you realize that this evening? Just like that film was turned from a negative into a positive. Tonight, likewise, God can take the very thing that has hurt so bad, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a good friend, My friend, what a wonderful promise we have tonight, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be a resurrection. And I'm thankful this evening for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Something that is once dead is now alive. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead, my friend, is the same power that lives inside of us this evening. So initially there's going to be a resurrection. Then the Bible says, then we which are alive and remain, that's speaking of us tonight, shall be caught up together with them, that's a plural pronoun, with them in the clouds. Them being the dead in Christ and Jesus, and then all the saints of God who've confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, God says, come up hither. Again, there's a catching away, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, being caught away. Now, the word rapture is not found in your Bible. You will not find the word rapture in your Bible. But the word rapture means, again, a catching or snatching away. When Christ returns in the clouds, we are going to be snatched or caught away. We shall be instantaneously changed from a physical mortal body to a glorified body. In other words, you're going to lose all gravitational pull at 9.8 meters per second squared. That's the acceleration of gravity. Gravity will have no hold on you whatsoever anymore. You're going to lose all gravitational pull. Your body shall be changed, and you'll be raised up together with them in the clouds. And what a powerful, powerful promise that is, that you and I tonight will be with Jesus and the dead in Christ in the clouds. There's going to be a rapture, my friend. And I want to be prepared. You see, Christ says in John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, let not your heart be troubled. Believing God, believe also in me. For my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Christ says, I go prepare a place. And if I go prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You recall earlier, we said heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. Again, it's not some figment of our imagination. It's not some wild fantasy dream. No. Heaven's a prepared place that's been prepared by the hands of Jesus Christ. I ask you this question tonight. How long did it take God to create the earth? 6 days, right? Or all his creation. You know, the plants and the animals and the stars and the night and the day. 6 days of creation. And on the seventh day, God rested from his work. Now, God didn't rest because he was tired. God's God. God doesn't get tired. But it was showing us a pattern in life and how we all must have a Sabbath, a day of rest. But I was thinking about 6 days of creation. Day, night, water, land, stars, moon, earth, universe, galaxies, Niagara Falls, the beautiful oceans, the mountains, all of creation. And his prize creation, you and I, man, woman. All in 6 days. Christ has been preparing a place for us. A place. In 2,000 years, Christ has been away. A place that our eyes, that our minds cannot fathom. I believe tonight if we got a snapshot of heaven, it would blow our mind. And as we learned last night about the passing of Tony Green, I can promise you this. He's rejoicing tonight. That the very songs he sang and the lives that were touched, great day tonight, he is living what he sang and preached for many, many years. And again, ministers have gone on before us and those family members who've gone on before us who may have sung in this choir and sat in these pews, who sang the great hymns of the church. Tonight, they are living what they've heard preached and taught and what they've sung. Heaven is a prepared place tonight. And it's going to be a rapture. I tell people, I'm not looking for the grave. I'm looking for the rapture of the church. Now, Christ may decide or God may decide to take me by the grave, but I'm not looking for the grave. I do believe, again, no one knows the day or the hour when Christ shall return, but I do believe that Christ's coming is very, very, very soon. I do believe that. I believe, again, no one knows the day or the hour, let me emphasize that, but I believe I will not see death due to old age. I believe that Christ will come back in my lifetime. But if he should not come, praise God, it's a win-win situation. If he should decide to take me by the grave, I'm still on my way to heaven by the grace of God. You see tonight, heaven is a wonderful place for those who trusted Christ as the Lord and their Savior. So the rapture of the church. There's first a resurrection, then there's a rapture. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Can you imagine being at your place of work and all of a sudden, just like that, your body's changed. Driving down the highway, just like that, your body's changed. Again, I can't fathom it, but what a glorious day it's going to be. When the trumpet sounds, and we, which are alive and remain, shall hear that trumpet. Great day. It's going to be an awesome day. As I come to a close tonight, finally there's going to be a reunion. Initially a resurrection, then the rapture, we which are alive and remain, and then thirdly, together with them, recall again the plural pronoun, there's going to be a grand and glorious reunion. You know, there's sometimes when I go to a family reunion, a lot of the people that are there who are my family, extended family, I have no idea who they are. But at that reunion in the air, great day, I can't describe. I doubt there'll be chicken pastry at that reunion. I don't think so. However, there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years after the coming of the Lord. But it will be a grand and glorious time. Isn't there a hymn of the church that says, oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and. You know that song? That's what it's talking about. Oh, won't you be there? I'm not a singer, as you guys can tell. But it will be a wonderful time. A reunion. The Bible says in Revelation 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise God tonight that we shall be with him. That he is our God. We are his people. And it says that he will be there with us. I can't, again, to be able to walk the streets of gold, to know that we are being changed just like that in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. That's what the Bible says. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed. And I read somewhere that General Electric measured the twinkling of an eye, and it's 11/100 of a second. That's pretty quick, wouldn't you say? Pretty quick. But it's going to be a wonderful time. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know that phrase we often use? You haven't seen nothing yet. My friend, we haven't seen anything yet. Think of the greatest feeling that you ever could experience on this earth. And multiply it, magnify it. I don't know how many times you would magnify it. You can't comprehend it. That's what heaven's going to be like. But I think about what Christ accomplished on the cross that allows me entrance to have that glorious reunion. There's a little chorus that goes, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But praise God, I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. You see, my good works, your good works, that does not allow us entrance into the kingdom of heaven. It's only by the grace of God. And I can stand before you tonight coming with passion and with fervor, because I know one day that this is going to be a reality. But I was 5 years old when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I know that I'm ready and I'm prepared for that place that Jesus has prepared for me and for all the saints of God. I pray tonight that you're ready. And by no means could I do this sermon justice, because this is a lot of meat here. We could go on and on and on and do series on the coming of the Lord. But just a little snapshot of what's going to happen on that glorious day. It reminds me, years ago when I was in college, I went to a Kinston Indians baseball game. It was on a Friday night. It was in late spring. And the Indians were playing, of course, another team, and it was 0-0, bottom of the eighth inning. A tight ball game. Good defensive ball game, good pitching. And that particular night, 93.3, had a promotion going on. When you came in the ballpark, they took your ticket, they tore it in half, gave you one half, they kept the other half. And if the Indians hit a home run, scored 3 runs, or scored 9 runs, you know, for 93.3, they would call a ticket number out, and if it was your ticket number, you won $93, $93 cash from 93 WDLX at the time. Well, I recall very vividly that night, again, the bottom of the eighth inning, and the Kinston Indians up to bat, and they hit a home run over the left center field wall. The place erupted, people were cheering. The guy ran the bases, Indians up one zip, and sticking to the word, the promotion, the announcer comes across the intercom system there at the Kinston Indians ballpark. He said, if you have ticket number 091009, you've just won $93 from 93 WDLX. Come on down to customer service to receive your prize. Well, that night, it was a lot of people in attendance. It was packed that particular night. I want to say about 3,000 people. I mean, it was packed. I wasn't paying much attention, to be honest with you, because, you know, I really never have won anything. Well, that night I had my ticket stub in my pocket. I was with about 5 or 6 of my friends that night. A bunch of us guys went out to the game. They checked their ticket stubs, and they were so close, just a few numbers off. And here I am not paying attention much. And they said, Brian, check your ticket stub. So I took my ticket stub out of my pocket, and wouldn't you know it, it was ticket number 091009. I had the winning ticket number. I'm a very self-conscious person. Believe it or not, I don't like being in front of people a lot of times. But that night, I didn't care. I jumped up and said, I won. I ran down those steps, ran to customer service, and met the DJ of 93.3. He said, are you the winning ticket number? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, could I see your ticket stub? I said, yes, sir. So I handed my ticket stub to him, and he took my ticket stub and the one that he had, and where it had been torn, he put the two together and said, yep, a perfect match. He said, you just won $93 from 93.3. He then pulls out 4 20s, a 10, and 3 ones. Never forget it. Again, I'm in college. Remember call last night? I'm in college. I'm rich again. Here I am, $93. Right then and there, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Brian, just like tonight, when your ticket number was called out and you stood before that DJ and he said, yep, a perfect match, and you received your, you know, your award of $93. He said, Brian, so too am I going to call my people out. And he said, Brian, you're going to stand before me and I'm going to look at the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago and look at the blood that has covered your heart, my son's blood. And I'm going to say, yep, a perfect match. And then I'm going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy kingdom. Eternal life. My friend, that $93 is long gone now. I can promise you that. But eternal life, there is no end. You see, the prettiest coffins cannot contain eternal life. The deepest graves cannot contain eternal life. You see, eternal life does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins as soon as you receive Christ as your personal Savior. Tonight, if you confess Jesus with your mouth and you believe in your heart that He's the Son of God and arose from the dead, the Bible says you are saved and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My friend, you have eternal life. So if Christ should come tonight by the rapture, great day, by the grace of God, I pray we have an empty church. But if not, my friend, if you're not prepared tonight, you can be before the service ends. Before we go have a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall, some great refreshments. I want to encourage you and invite you, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, before you leave this place tonight, would you pray that prayer of saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. I receive in faith your finished work. And the Bible says you're saved. Brian, that's just too simple. Well, my friend, it's a simple gospel which produces powerful results. You just come just as you are and allow God to work in and through you. His forgiveness is amazing. That's what we call it, amazing grace. It's awesome. Again, when I hear all the events that are taking place across our world, yes, it does concern me, see what's happening in our nation. It does. And across our world, it does. But it lets me know that the coming of the Lord is that much more near. So you and I have a responsibility to those who are Christians tonight is to let others know, to let others know that Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. I'm going to ask Lisa, she doesn't mind, to come to the piano. I recall a few years ago, I was at Walmart, and I was getting ready to walk out. As I was walking out, all of a sudden, whoop, 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 you've just activated the Walmart security alert system, you know. And I could see people looking my way, and I was thinking to myself, what in the world? Is that guy that comes on TV? Is he stealing something? You know, it's the first thing that goes to my mind. Look at that preacher stealing something. You know. But what had happened, I bought some razors, and you know that on the back of it, that little UP, that little code back there, you know, they didn't demagnetize it. So it went off. So they had to take it back to the register and demagnetize it, you know. But it falsely accused me, was what I'm trying to point out here. And so many times the devil may try to tell us, if you were a Christian, your prayers would have been answered by now. If you were a child of God, you wouldn't do this or do that. I'm just going to tell you something, my friend. If you confess Christ as personal Savior tonight, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are under the blood. And don't let the devil tell you that you are not saved. You are saved. But you know in your heart tonight if you are where you should be. Only you and God know that this evening. And I encourage you tonight to spiritually examine yourself and ask yourself, Heavenly Father, if there's anything in my life that would hinder my relationship with you, God, Father, forgive me. And he'll do just that. People have often asked me, Brian, you know, is it wrong to do this, wrong to do that, you know? And when I was in school, I remember, you know, I said, Mom, Dad, is it wrong to go to this place? Is it wrong to go to that place? And I'll never forget what they would tell me. Brian, with the Lord, would he be looking for you there? They would always say something like that. I'm like, oh, no, you're right. He wouldn't be looking for me there. Even though I was innocent when I was doing, but still, I didn't want anything to hinder my testimony or anything with my relationship with my Heavenly Father. So as we come tonight and sing our invitational hymn, if you need prayer this evening for any reason, I invite you to come like we've done each night. If you want to come and talk to your Heavenly Father in your own way, please, I invite you to come and you can talk to your Heavenly Father. If you need Christ tonight as your personal Savior, myself, Pastor Gordon, will be glad to pray with you. A simple prayer. But this altar is open for you. And I want to encourage you, do not leave this place tonight unprepared. For none of us know what tomorrow holds. Page 62, Just As I Am, is our invitational hymn tonight. And again, I invite you to obey the Holy Spirit as he prompts you and leads you this evening. But I want to emphasize once again, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. Would you stand to your feet tonight and turn your hymnals to page 62 as we sing Just As I Am. Thank you.
Anyone in the church can do for you to help you, to guide you, we'd love to do that.
Yes.
We'd love to see a life changed. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Let's pray. I'll ask Brother Brian to step to the back, and you are all invited to partake of refreshments with us immediately after the prayer. Just like Christ does, no one's going to be turned away. So I'll have a closing prayer and we'll say the blessing also so that we can go ahead and fellowship together. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as we close this revival, again, we beseech you, break open stony hearts. Show us that we do need to come to you and to stay with you. That we come just as we are and that you change us. That it's not something that we can do. We can never be good enough to gain Christ. And once we're a Christian, we can never work hard enough to repay the debt that we truly owe. Help us to be mindful of what we need to be mindful of, whether it's a need for a Savior or a need to be in your service consistently and truthfully. Be with us as we have our fellowship in just a moment. Help us to fellowship in love and harmony. And bless the food that